Please rise for the Holy Gospel. Listen to God's word. It's found in the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 7, beginning with verse 37. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the ones who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now, he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the good news of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Be sure, if you have the opportunity, before you exit our facilities, to reach out the hand of praise, thanksgiving, and fellowship to this brand new disciple of Christ, Harlan, and his family. I've often said if we were to construct a new building, the baptismal font would be back there, because it is the initial step inside. So Tiny Harlan has taken his initial step, and we need to welcome him with praises and thanksgivings. Amen. A note about the Journey of Light insert in your worship folder. I had shared with the search committee before I signed my contract that I would be having a process, and I saw it near mandatory that all the leadership of the church participate in it, and that beyond those brothers and sisters, there would be a general invitation to the members and friends of the congregation to participate. The first session is this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. This process is a small group process. I am the convener. No other member of the staff is involved. The process will help me learn a great deal about you. Will help you learn a great deal about yourself, and together help us learn where we need to go the next step. So I know summer is a busy time away, but the process is before you, and I hope that all of you who are expected to be there will be there. Amen. In God's most holy name, amen. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. We all know those lines, don't we? Coming here to First Church, I had great trepidation. This was not because of the congregation's size, nor of its complexity, Nor was this caused by what I early on deciphered that needed some serious attention. Nor was it caused by any consideration of the congregational way juxtaposed with the ways of John Wesley, Philip Wilhelm Otterbein, Jacob Albright, and Mary McLeod Bethune, the spiritual founders of the United Methodist Church. No. My trepidation centered on whether or not I could adequately convey to you my faith, which is as close to mystical as modern faith commitments can come. Could I convey to you the power that is God and how our faith in this unknowable, mysterious presence unleashes that power in not only our lives, but in the world around us? I still am concerned that I must do all I possibly can to convey to you that power, which no other power of any kind can stand against, the power of God. God's power can shatter everything into tiny little unrecognizable pieces. And unlike all the king's horses and all the king's men that could not put Humpty Dumpty together again, God can put together that which has been shattered and scattered apart. In the Bible, running throughout it, are at least three very basic things. There are more, but three very basic things. One is dark and light, dark and light, dark and light, death and life, death and life, death and life. It's throughout all of Scripture. Everywhere we look in Scripture, if we look close enough, we will recognize this theme. The second thing is creation, destruction. Creation, destruction, creation, destruction. Look carefully in your scripture reading and you will see this thing. The third theme is God's grace. Grace, 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 grace. Everywhere we look, we find God's grace. It's everywhere. Today's reading from Dr. Luke's book of Acts is part of the creation destruction theme. The destruction part of it appears to us in the story of the Tower of Babel found in the book of Genesis. The people's hubris, pride, self-centeredness, destructive narcissism has separated them from their goal. Their pride in themselves, their pride in their technology takes precedency. They believe their very tall buildings and their abilities to build and their technology moves them into a place reserved for themselves, leaving no room for God. Well, the Bible says to us, God, putting up with this perhaps too long, decides to scatter everyone everywhere. You know enough, children. You're grounded for centuries. Find your own way. And of course, you cannot listen or understand each other because I'm giving you different languages and you won't know nothing for nothing. The story, the Tower of Babel, is another God kicking his children out of the garden story. This is destruction. The shattering of God's children into tiny pieces flying like dust everywhere. today's reading from Dr. Luke, the good physician relates to us that fateful time so long ago when God does what all the king's horses and all the king's men could not do for Humpty Dumpty. God creates out of the shattered, scattered children of his family a brand new reality and its holds. In a room, Dr. Luke relates to us, the fearful, confused, bewildered followers of this itinerant Galilean preacher are gathered. And God brings all them together in one act of powerful creativity. God breathes his breath into them. This is the first Pentecostal moment. The Tower of Babel was a scattering, the shattering. The first Pentecostal moment was the bringing together. Today we celebrate God's power to bring us together for God's common cause of his ongoing creativity. We do so by recognizing the spiritual power of God's breathing into us. Many years ago, I was asked to visit the father of a parishioner living in Clearfield County, Pennsylvania. The father was 95 years old, rapidly moving towards death. Visiting him, I noticed immediately that Mr. Ferguson was over 6 feet tall yet. In one of his hands was the size of two of mine, even at 95 years of age. He shared with me that he was a miner, beginning to work in the deep mines in Clearfield County at the age of 13. He labored over 50 years in the darkness and the dampness of those deep mines. He had been suffering from black lung for over 20 years. I said to him that you know then how precious breath is, don't you? He shook his head. Then I asked, do you believe God is here with us in this room this afternoon? Barely audible, he says, yes, I do. Mr. Ferguson, I offered God his breath to you. Yes. He said, yes. I cannot live without breath. I cannot live without God. Do we recognize, as Mr. Ferguson did so long ago, just a month before his death, in that humble miner's home, how precious breath is to us? Do we understand the power of breathing? In that room so long ago, God breathed his breath into his children, and they became one in their commitment to God's ongoing creativity. In this morning's baptism of infant Harlan Mark, we celebrate God's power to bring us together for his own purposes by being reminded that each one of us is known by God by our name and claimed by God in and through our baptism. We celebrate God's power to bring us together for his own purposes when we metaphorically, and for some of us mystically, even in a real sense, all empowered by our faith, ingest and digest God's gift to his children, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of our faith. How separate, however separate we might be, God bring us together as one. Scattered and shattered like poor old Humpty Dumpty is not the fate of God's children. No, not by a long shot. My dog doesn't follow that scent. However different I may be from you, however different you may be from me, whatever distance lies between us, whatever distance lies between each of those around us, and the spaces lying between all of God's children of his holy family, however different we might be in every conceivable variety of differences, God creates out of those differences a power of one. By breathing into us his powerful breath. With our spiritual lungs filled with God's holy breath, when we ingest and digest the spiritual essence of Jesus through our faith in the sacrament of the Christian church, we have within us all it takes to be Jesus. We have what it takes to be Jesus. Well, you know, someone may say to themselves, I'm quite sure, God's breath, spirit, breathe into me as my own Pentecostal. I get that. Baptism. God knows me by my name. God claims me through baptism. Hey, I get that too. And though I'm a congregationalist and free to wonder theologically as I wish, whatever I wish, the holy meal, holy communion, the table, holy Eucharist, they're all the same, you know. I even get that spiritually through my faith. When I spiritually ingest and digest Jesus, I have within me what it takes to be Jesus in my own time, in my own place, in my own circumstance. Yeah, I get that. But being Jesus, I don't know about that. I don't really feel this is my spiritual pedigree in any kind of way, shape, or form. I don't think so. Well, maybe. But I choose to disagree, of course. The story is told about a woman who locked her keys in her car in a rough part of town. She found an old coat hanger lying on the street and tried to break in, but with no success. Feeling desperate, she finally prayed, Dear God, please send me somebody to help me. Reasonable prayer. Within 5 minutes, an old rusty car pulled up. A rough-looking, tattooed, bearded man wearing a biker skull rag walked to her. She thought, great Scott, this is who God sent to help you. But she was desperate. So when the man asked if he could help, she said, can you break into my car? He said, sure, I'm good at that. He took the coat hanger, walked over to her car, and in 30 seconds flat opened the door. She hugged the man and said, thank you so much. You are a very nice man. He replied, lady, I'm not a nice man. I got out of prison just today. I served 2 years for auto theft and have only been out for about an hour. But the woman hugged the man again. And shouted with great enthusiasm, thank you, God, for sending me a professional. When you think about it that way, we're all professionals when it comes to Jesus. No matter what our past or our flaws, no matter our blemishes, no matter how many miscues and sins we have, no matter how bad others may think we are or how bad we think we are, God knows we're just right. We have all what it takes to be Jesus. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul that God has the power. God shatters and scatters his children when their hubris, their pride takes precedent over their loyalty to God and the covenant. God's power creates renewed, salvaged children, breathing in them life and zeal and fire with his breath, which is like fire. My dear brothers and sisters, on this Pentecost Sunday, may our faith instruct us that God fills our lungs with holy breath. And in the baptism we witness today, may our faith remind us that God knows each one of us by name. Don't try to hide. He knows you by name. And in your baptism, he claims you. And in the holy meal we partake of this day, may our faith instruct us that God fills our souls with the spiritual essence of Jesus Christ. It is God's power. Nothing you and I can do about it. It's God's power that makes it possible for all of us to be Jesus to anyone, everyone we meet. This grand and glorious congregation with its rich heritage and history, the first congregation of the Church of Wauwatosa, can be Jesus to the world. Each one of you, young and old, can be Jesus to the world. God's power breathed into us at Pentecost makes this our reality. By God's breath and its power, we are made one. By God's breath, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of our faith, fills us to the overflow. So, who will be Jesus? Harlan, will you be Jesus? Well, of course you will. How about you? And you? How about 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 you? My, oh my, oh my, oh my. Hey, why can't we all be Jesus to each other and to the world we live in? Yes, of course. Of course. Let us all be Jesus to each other, to the world around us, by the power of God. Amen and amen.